So we will split the presentation in two parts because of the lunchtime. So we are a transdisciplinary team composed of 6 persons at the moment. We have 2 associate professors. Dominique is one, Claudia Bianchini is not here. She's from Poitiers. We have 2 PhD students, Claire Danet here and Patrick Dohan from University of Technology of Compiègne, but he's not here. And we are 3 designers, so Morgan, Adrien and myself. And we are from Amiens School of Art and Design. Today we are presenting you our project called Type a Note, which is an attempt to create a glyphic system for the transcription of sign languages. So it has some connection with the previous presentation about annotation topic and stuff like that. So sign language and gestuality. As you know, all sign languages have an established semiotic, but writing sign languages is still an emerging practice, and writing or transcripting a sign language necessarily means questioning it. So in this presentation, we are going to explore the graphical dimension of this gestural language through new perspectives. So as you can see on the screen, sign language can be split in 5 main parameters. So the first one is facial expression. You have also movement, hand shapes, the orientation, and the location of the arms. And our central question is the following one, is how to create a graphical system to transcribe those 5 parameters. So to do so, firstly, what is transcription? The usual distinction between transcription and writing is based on vocal language models. So we have a question, that this distinction is still relevant for sign languages or gestural phenomena? This is one of the big questions. And so we have to, when we speak about transcription, there's some basic requirements. In short, as Slobin says, transcription is writing data. So it breaks down language into useful components, allowing systematic analysis. And a glyphic system has to allow a wide range of transcription possibilities within the many levels and sub-levels of annotation. So the first of these requirements is defining the levels of description. You have to break down the parameters and you have to choose a principle of analysis, either phonetic or phonologic. And this principle of description or an organization should be at the root of the graphematic formula, which is the second requirement. This formula provides all the logic and the phonological features to follow for designing a glyphic system. This glyphic system, the third requirement, is defined by a set of drawings and the rules for combining those drawings together. Another important point is the use of encoding standards. As Slobin suggests, transcription requires encoding standards that allow universal indexation and consistent searchability across different environments. And the final requirement is to use the digital tools as a font or virtual keyboard. For example, one of these tools, here you can see a screenshot of Elan. It's a really common software that allows researchers to annotate video and audio content, which is used a lot for annotating sign language corpuses. And as you can see, due to the lack of appropriate annotating system, researchers are using vocal languages to annotate glosses. And for example, here you have English and Dutch. And using glosses doesn't respect sign language structures, and this approach necessarily means interpreting a lot which is bad when you want to stay as closely as possible to the original signal. So another obvious problem is that the resulting annotations are not universals. They are specific to the annotated language, so it doesn't help international collaboration between researchers. We will quickly review the current standards in order to give the context of our research of a glyphic system for transcription of sign languages. Here you can see the main existing attempt from the past. I will dig a little deeper into firstly AMNOSIS. So it's for Ambrogue Annotation System. It was designed in 1985. So it's AMNOSIS offered the possibility to annotate sign languages using their own convention and the specific font. It can describe the different parameters, so end shape, orientation, location, etc., of the language. And it's mainly based on the Stokoe notation that you can see above, that use existing glyphs as graphematic conventions. From a writing point of view, AMNOSIS offers a consistent deconstruction of the sign into a linear formula. Using a computer interface, AMNOSIS is compatible with alphabetic writing environments and allows a high level of searchability, which is always good. So those two systems are phonographic system, which annotates the non-signifying units of language, non-signifying contrastive units, sorry. There's two other one, which are writing system and logographic system. And because of its gestural and multilinear nature, writing sign language represents still today an extremely complex challenge that very few graphic systems succeed to undertake. So sign writing, designed by Valerie Sutton in 1974, is probably the most famous and used of them. It's a modular writing system which combines a limited amount of symbols that can literally create an iconic representation of the sign in a specialized representation of the body. So it's non-linear, it's feature-based, it's iconic, and sign writing is striking by its visual expressivity and powerful readability. It's extremely readable and versatile, but its main disadvantage comes from its non-linear 2D composition space that requires specific composing tools and make it incompatible with current writing softwares. Contrary to the phonographic previous one, sign writing is a logographic system which annotates the signifying units of language. So in short, we can synthesize the existing system, the main notation system in this graph, according to the two axes. The first one is a phonographic logographic continuum. It represents the type of notation and the relationship with the form of the sign. And the second axis represents the use of the notation, a transcription purpose, and a writing one. So clearly, AMNOSIS and Stokoe's notation system made by linguistics are designed to transcribe. And the model of the alphabet is predominant in these two notation systems. On the contrary, sign writing is more logographic and closer to what a writing system for language, for sign language could be. So here are our goals. So we are trying to develop a glyphic system, and we have determined five key steps. The first one is that we must ground our study of the sign languages on a phonological model, or if there is none, create one based on combinatorial logic or on a corpus. The second one is that we must build the glyphic elements and their compositional rules for the components we have extracted from the first step. The third one, we choose to create a virtual cable that provides a flexible and various use, even with software as Elend or Anvil. The first one is that our glyphic system must be wide enough to allow a good transcription for a large variety of sign languages, because there's a lot of sign languages over the world, so we have to be wider as possible. And it must be open in order to include new glyphs that we would have not taken into account into the first version, maybe. And finally, this glyphic system needs to be an open toolbox for the futures, for a future writing system. So I leave you with Claire. She will be presenting you our specific approach. Now you have the context and the existing system, and she will speak more to our approach.
So before presenting our methodology and some parameters underway, let's see how we moved from our first hypothesis to our approach. Recognizing the shared modalities between sign language and writing, both using visual gestural modalities to work, we follow the idea that preserving and promoting existing links between the language and the form or the act of writing might help people to connect with writing through tracing, building, and reading. Following this initial intuition at first, we developed a logographic approach which helped bring out the writer posture, as you can see on the picture. This echoes the problematics of language with body, and spatial reference could serve as a framework translated into the scriptural space. Writing as a corporal technique that extends our cognitive and communication capacities share a very strong relation with sign language. Both rely on a deep sense of the body to draw living structures in space using morphological and topological transfers between meaning and form. Morphology, referring to an anatomous form, and topology, referring to continuous relations between form. Finally, writing as a corporal activity can open new possibilities for sign language by expanding its modalities of expression. As we say, the modalities of production for the oral in sign languages are the same than the modalities to the writing, so gestural, visual. Then, building a writing for sign language deals with the orality as a semiotic modality. The act of writing an utterance in sign language could reenact the oral production. The keyword here is could. Then our question is how to reveal and to enact this link. For us, certainly through analogies. The analogy is a construct, it's not only visual. The force proportional is what we mean with analogy. This phrase, for instance, Magritte is to painting what metaphor is to linguistics, could be analyzed as neighborhood between Magritte and painting, which is analog to the neighborhood between metaphor and linguistics. We are not in the simple iconic conception of the sign, like an homotopy. What are the domains of what are the domains of analogy between a sign or a parameter and a glyph? The trace, the tracing, the motion dynamics, and the structure of movement. So the first one is a trace. Here, the image of the trace is the only issue, whatever the order of each stroke in the drawing. I can trace AA without knowing the order of the tracing. The analogy here is a visual one. It is the case for sign writing. The second concerns the tracing or the act of drawing. In this case, the order of each stroke is important. The analogy here is a gestural one. We pay attention of the gesture in this case. The third one is motion dynamics. The articulators of the upper limb involved in a tracing are analog to the articulators in motion for the corresponding sign. And the fourth domains come from the structure of movements. It is a multiple manner to trace. Each joint involved could trace a stroke. The choices of the domain depend on the parameter we would like to transcribe. To synthesize, these domains offer great opportunities to explore the emergence of meaning in the visual results of a gesture, in gestures themselves, and in motion of the body. In this way, writing gestures or even sign could again give sense to the act of writing, including the fact that the way of the sense are varied. Let's detail the method through the hand shapes. Our starting point was phonology. The starting point of the other parameters are more combinatory oriented. We choose those last method for the parameter location, movement, and morphing. For the hand shapes, the analogy is visual. In the phonological approach, we choose Ekarius and Brentari's proposal because of the graphematic formula. With this formula, they provide a syntax that covers 9 sign languages. On the left, you can see the formula with the different levels of information. We are going to show the reasons of these changes in the next slide. The graphematic formula of Ekarius and Brentari is quite different from the one we have built for the Tippannot system, despite the fact we started from Ekarius and Brentari's model. We have entirely rewritten the possible fingers position to facilitate the searchability. What differs is that now all the features of the graphematic formula are fully explicit. For instance, the feature opposed, non-opposed of the sum appears in our formula. One of the singularities of our approach is that it allows one to annotate any end shape with generic glyphs, as you can see here. There is a correspondence between the graphematic features and the generic glyphs. We can search any feature thanks to these generics, even hidden ones. So, you have the opportunity to annotate with the granularity required by your research. For instance, you can transcribe just a pointing element, an extended index, or the opposition of a term. Briefly, there are the main categories of the generics. As you can see, the set is limited. Next to the generic form, transcription can take the shape of specific composed glyph. Currently, we designed 247 composite glyphs based on the inventory of Ekarius and Brentari. This other type of graphic representation offers a synthetic and morphologic use that is easier to understand. We developed a tool that allows easy access to the end-shaped glyphs. We use several principles of interface, ranging from a virtual keyboard to a parametric menu or a word search engine. Once selected, the glyph can be automatically copied and pasted, injected into a targeted program. Here, you can see a screenshot from a transcription made with Ellen. You can see generic decomposed glyph and specific composed glyph. Currently, we are programming the glyph of the handshapes in order to integrate them in the program. Dominique is going to present the other manual parameters.
Okay, so besides the glyphic system for the handshapes, we extract two other graphematic systems for two other manual parameters, one for the location and the other for the movement. We consider the location just in the beginning of a sign. the final part of a location in a sign is not considered. Our approach is based on two principles. Every gestural productions depend on an internal motor control. So, to be stabilized, the form of a sign requires an identical motor schema, including the initial location. This is the lock-in in the slide. The lock-in has two functions. One is to stabilize the motor schema, and second, to limit the number of degrees of freedom in motion. So we have determined the graphematics combinatory for the lock-in. You can see here the 3 degrees of freedom of the hand, for instance, the last one. So you can have the flexion extension, a pronation supination, thank you, and an adduction. It's the 3 degrees of freedom for the hand. But we've got 2 for the forearm and 2 for the arm. So each degrees of freedom have several amplitude or magnitude, I think we say in English. So for instance, for the pronation supination, we've got 5 range of motions, So the principles are the same for the other segments, the upper limb, so forearm and arm. And in this context, the graphematic formula of lock-ini is a composition of a location, or the location of these degrees of freedom. So to find the just on the back, to find the graphic principles of lock-ini, we created a tool that helps us to automatically generate all possible combinations, more than 90,000. According to customers, customizable graphic features. This way we hope to greatly improve both design accuracy and process. For the movement, so the second, the third manual parameter, for the movement, the main principles concern the decomposition of the movement, which is potentially on every segment. We consider the movement as a cluster of categories. So you can see these categories. So these categories separate the movement in a frame in which an impulse triggers the movement according to a dynamic on 1 or 2 upper limbs under a certain symmetry. So the splitting between all these features will allow us to transcribe the movement in a very detailed manner, and we can dissociate the visual form from the form onto the upper limb, the form from the situation, I mean the deployment of the form from the lock-ini, and the schema of the form, namely without the